Is it working? Yeah, I think. You guys can hear me, everyone? Or should I be louder?
No,
all good. Okay. So, hello everyone. I'm Haris, and this is Jinpu. And we are kernel maintainers for RNBD RTRS, kernel modules that work in the storage and RDMA domain together. And we work for INS Cloud, Germany. We work from the Berlin office. And today we'll be presenting one of the kernel modules that I just mentioned. That's RTRS. It's a reliable high-speed transport library over RDMA. So everyone would have heard about RDMA. That's maybe the buzzword for nowadays, but it's a very important technology that is being used. It's like one of the biggest standards being used in the high-performance domain, AI domain, all the machine learning things that are being developed right now, mostly are based on this RDMA technology, and for good reason, because it is low latency, high throughput. It uses very less CPU when you can, and you can basically pump a large amount of data through the network. Zero copy, you can do zero copy. It doesn't have to copy data. It can just map the buffers that you want to send through this through DMA. But that's all well and good. It's fast, it's nice, but it is a little difficult to work with, because there's a lot of things that you need to do for starters. For example, you have to start working with protection domains. When you want to establish the sessions, you might have to create queue pairs. You have to create completion queues, shared queues if you want that kind of completion technology. Then, and that's just the setup part, right? When you want to send data, when you want to send IOs, you will have to do your own DMA. You have to manage memory regions, and that is the good part. And then you have events that are happening in the network, for example, a disconnect event or an error event. You have to manage all those events through this connection manager. So it's all a little difficult to handle. And you obviously have to react to those network events and do your own managing reconnects and error paths. And the code is also sensitive. You see it's designed in a way to work with SGList, but that shouldn't stop anyone, because you can basically just map a buffer, whatever you want to send, your header or your IO, in an SGList and send it across. And so using RTRS, you see that all the complex things that you want to avoid while using RDMA are just hidden below, and every RTRS basically does everything for you. It does the connection management, it does the completion queue management, it manages memory regions for you, and all the DMA mappings and RDMA events that I was speaking about. Right, so it's a RTRS is a basically very simple client-server architecture, and you have the module on the client side where you have to do an open, just like a socket. You have module on the server side also, which also you have to do an open to start listening for a connection. And basically that's it. If you do an open on the server side and then an open on the client side giving the IP address or whatever, the GID, for example, in RDMA, you'll have a connection in between, and then you can start sending IOs. RTRS allows you to have multiple paths for multipathing, and you can basically design your architecture in a way that different paths goes through different network links, so you have redundancy in network also. And the paths internally has connections that are per CPU, so you can have an IRQ pinning for efficient performance and data transfer. So as I was saying, the main highest the logical relationship is the session, which you can establish giving a unique name, and internally it has its own unique UUID, and in a session you can have multiple paths, which I just mentioned, through different network ports and network paths if you want, and each path will then have a queue pair, which is linked to per CPU. So every CPU on the client side, it will create a connection. So it basically utilizes all your resources, and also improves your completion better. So generally, this is how your the headers laid out. You have the RTRS message, but you don't have to worry about that. What you have to send is an optional header if you want. For example, you have modules on both sides that you want to communicate what you're sending, whether it's an IO message, whether it's a management message, so you can have your own header and you can have your own data. You send a header through a vector and you send the data through an SGList, which you can create out of a buffer or anything. And this is the general handshake protocol you have. Not very important because it's all being handled internally. It's a connection request and response, and then info is exchanged in between. One more important thing is RTRS internally has its own heartbeat mechanism, which lets you make sure that the connection is on all the time, even when you're not using it. And when, let's suppose your IO fails, what it's going to do is, if you have multiple paths internally, it's going to fail over to the other path, so you won't even know that something has happened. It's just going to, whatever in-flight IO you had on the other path, it's going to stop, sees that the path has failed, it goes fails over to the other path, and it also initiates a reconnect mechanism for the failed path. If you had a network disruption, it comes back, your path would be basically established again successfully. And the second part would be covered by Chinese.
Yeah, I will take over for the second part. So RTS support different multipath policy. And so we have round robin, so just cycle around from the passes available, and we also have mini flight, which is RTS track fills the active request, and we'll pick that pass for next IO. And the third one is mean latency, so it uses internally this heartbeat mechanism to tracking the minimal latency for the fastest pass. So heartbeat detects there's a failure on the pass, it will automatically pick the healthy pass. So fill over all the failed IO directly to the healthy pass, and so customer won't notice there's a failure. And when the pass is recovered, it will automatically reconnect, and so it get to the multipass. Both multipass works again. We have important configuration knob, which is a trade-off between performance and security, called always invalidate. So it means for every IO, the third side will invalidate the buffer. And it's indicated by a message called RTS message RK response, and it default as on, so it's more safer, and it has its own performance default. When you finish your transfer, you just call this RTS client close to close that session. Yeah, from third side is mostly similar, just different structure. So there's RDMA event callback and there's a link event callback. So in RDMA field, there's different events generated. So just you need to handle them. RTS does handle it transparently inside. So there's some you first need to define the structure and then call RTS server open call, and you will get back this RTS context for handle the data transfer. Link event is simply handle the event generated from the underlying low level detail event. And when you finish the call, you call RTS server close to close the session. Yeah, we get a little bit deeper into the I/O path. So you basically you need to define the message and define the confirmation callback. This is message I/O confirmation callback. And when you send the request, it is because we reserve the resource on the server side memory resource to hold this I/O. So you need to get a permit so don't overload the buffer. And you define the type of the connection. There's a different type called I/O connection or admin connection. So admin is mostly for the management commands, and I/O is general I/O. It also have different mode. You can wait for the it's running more than 4,000 servers in our data center, and you can also see the performance graph. It scales pretty well when number of jobs increase or number of device increase is mostly linearly, but when there's multi-NUMA architecture, there's slope not so deep. Basically the key use case for RTS is managing, give a general in kernel library to do RDMA. To RDMA, and you can also use it for AI machine learning scenario to transfer data, and because it's mostly generic, so we currently use for RNBD. There's a set of module RNBD, and it can be reused for other modules too. We just call out others to get familiar with the code and can just run and test, also reuse the code as needed. Yeah, I think almost done. And if there's any question you can ask, here's our contact with email and LinkedIn.
Hi, thanks for the talk. I have a quick question. Is RTRS available through user space through, you know, uverbs interface, or is it on the kernel level feature?
Yeah, it's internal right now. We do plan to have a interface that basically either using IOU ring or something, or maybe a user space block device through uBlock to start using RTRS in kernel, but right now it's not available through user space.
And for Fabric, do you rely on InfiniBand or something else?
It doesn't matter. You can use InfiniBand, you can use Rocky. It doesn't matter whether you're using Mellanox or Broadcom. It just needs to be available to use through the verbs.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Anyone? Okay.
Hi, maybe I missed something. Does this library designed to export block device at all, or I can share, read or write any block from this device?
Yeah, so this was designed in paired with another kernel module called RNBD, and you would see that. So basically when you use RNBD, it internally uses RTRS, and through that you can export block devices through RDMA. It's very similar to NVMe OF. The difference is that if you so for our performance test, it shows that it performs better than NVMe OF, basically. So, but if that other module is also available in the kernel. If you want to export block devices across RDMA network, you can try that. It's RNBD RTRS.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Round of applause.